Bible warns us of people who proclaim the return of Christ. There are some people that love to say they know when Jesus is coming. But clearly, when you look at Matthew 36, many other verses, I'm just going to concentrate on this one. But of that day and that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a teaching message that I shared with our congregation on a Wednesday evening at Holt Assembly of God. This message is part two of a message entitled Our Blessed Hope. Paul tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first, receiving their glorified bodies, and we who are alive will instantly be changed and caught up in the clouds together to be with our Lord. What a glorious day that will be, and I pray that no one misses the promised blessed hope. My hope for you today is that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
Only Christians who died in Christ will be resurrected at the rapture, and they will be reunited with those who are living and expecting His return. And if we have hope, if we're born again and we remain in Christ, we have this wonderful hope. Second is this, Paul writing this gives us some theological perspective. There's a ministering purpose. Paul's ministering to these people who have questions. They don't understand what has happened to my relative, what has happened to my neighbor who has died in Christ, and so he's offering them hope that your loved one who has went to be with the Lord, there will be a resurrection, everything's just fine. But later, as we read the continuing verses, especially here in verse 13, but I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. Now, that doesn't mean stupid. That means not knowing. You should know this from the series I did on the understanding the gifts of the Spirit. Not knowing, not understanding, not being informed. Paul does not want us to be uninformed, to be ignorant. He wants to give them some information. He wants them to understand. And again, you have to remember, it's in the early days of Christianity, especially as Paul is ministering in Gentile nations. He's not dealing with Jews. He's dealing mainly with Gentile people. Most of the Jews have a view of the afterlife that was pretty consistent for the majority of them. Now, when you begin to minister to Gentile nations who have different gods and different religions and different practices, there was a vast array of beliefs concerning the afterlife. And so these people are coming to Christ, and that's why they have these questions. What's going to happen to the dead who are in Christ? What's going to happen to the dead who are not in Christ? And so Paul, that's the kind of the climate. That gives you the context and the understanding why these questions are coming. And so that's the second ministering point. He doesn't want them to be ignorant. He wants them to be informed. Because some people just get stupid when it comes to the rapture. And what I mean is this. Have you heard someone say, and it's usually negative, it's usually along these lines, the word rapture does not occur in the Bible. Well, they're absolutely right. The word rapture does not occur in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with using that. You won't find Trinity in the Bible, but we understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The early church, what they did was they translated from Greek to Latin. You have the word, and that's raptu, which means caught away or caught up. But the Greek word is harpazo, and it means to be caught away. Where we got rapture was, our English understanding is just derived from the Latin. So it's just a term we use to mean the same thing, caught away or caught up. If you say blessed hope, if you say caught away, caught up, or if you say rapture, it's okay. Some people just like to split hairs. And so pay no attention to people who split hairs. Just understand that we're talking about the same thing. The blessed hope is the rapture. The rapture is the event where the church is caught away or caught up. Some people say, well, you believe in the rapture, and the word rapture doesn't even occur in the Bible. And some people who don't know that will argue, yes, it is. My pastor talks about it all the time. It's not in the Bible. That word's not in the Bible, but it's just a phrase we use to capture a truth. There's nothing wrong with using it. And that's why I think we should be armed with understanding of God's Word. You know, most Spirit-filled churches, it's a cardinal doctrine. It's a cornerstone belief. We have four in our church. We believe that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is our soon-coming King. When you get to people who, in the subject of the rapture, you get all kinds of craziness that occurs. This is what I want to do, is I want to take just the next few moments to kind of go over some of the crazy things we run into when you're talking about the subject of the rapture. And number one is this. Some people believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Some believe in a mid-trib rapture. Some believe in a post-trib rapture. Believe it or not, some Christians don't believe in a rapture whatsoever. Now, how you can not believe in a rapture whatsoever is beyond me, because it's a cornerstone of the Christian faith. They lived in an expectancy that Jesus would come, that he would return. Me personally, I believe that when I look at the scriptures, the totality of scriptures, I believe that Jesus is coming before the tribulation. That's my personal belief. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God did not appoint us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, with that said, we're not exempt from trials, are we? We're not exempt from turmoil. Listen, we may even go through tribulations, but we won't go, I don't believe we're going through the tribulation. We can look at church history. We've seen times in the church age where there have been years where there's been turmoil, where there has been tribulation, even in the church age, but it wasn't the tribulation. It wasn't the time of Jacob's trouble. And I believe that's a time that will occur after the rapture. I believe, truly believe that that's one of the reasons, and I worry about people who are not grounded in their faith, or people who don't have a clear understanding theologically of the rapture, that they can get confused and they get all messed up. The Bible warns us of people who proclaim the return of Christ. There are some people that love to say they know when Jesus is coming. But clearly, when you look at Matthew 36 and many other verses, I'm just going to concentrate on this one. But of that day and that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be taken in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. What's amazing is I look at a scripture like that and I just say, you know, I don't even need to read anything else. Clearly, God is Jesus is communicating that his return is not known by man. But there will be some people who will take that very scripture and the example of Noah, and they'll say, well, that verifies why I can tell you when Jesus is coming. Because they read it from this standpoint. Noah was a righteous man living in an unrighteous time amongst unrighteous people. And he knew the flood was coming. And so their belief is that the righteous should know the coming of the Lord. The unrighteous will not know the coming of the Lord. That's their point that they argue. They you know, God revealed himself to Noah? No doubt about that. God revealed his plan to Noah? No question about that. God commanded Noah to build a big ship that would protect him, save him. Anybody else who got on that ship would be protected. They would survive the flood. There's no questioning that. But, you know, we read in Genesis chapter 7 that even when the ark was completed and the animals began to show up two by two, that God even tells Noah, 7 days, 7 days I'm going to bring a flood. And they say, right there, that's exactly proof. The problem is this. You have these two verses that you have to deal with that are the bookends of that story. But of that day and hour, no one knows. But of that day and hour, by the way, no one means no one. Only the Father. And then at the end, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Clearly, the point that Jesus is making here in this example was not knowing or not trying to figure out when he's coming, but just to be prepared for his coming. That his coming was imminent, that it could happen at any time. And then we have people that are just, that's all they do. Their mission is trying to figure out when Jesus is coming. I've even heard people say this. Israel had to become a nation in order for Jesus to return. Okay, listen to me. Israel became a nation in a day, yes or no? Right, 1948, correct? Israel could have became a nation in a day any time that God wanted it to. God has a plan, and it's going to work out the way, you know, this part of his plan is going to work out exactly how he wants it, when he wants it. He knows when, but when it comes to his return, he knows the hour, he knows the time when his son's coming back. The lesson of the rapture is basically it's twofold, to be ready ourselves and to ready others around us. And you know, when you think of Noah, you think of a guy who builds a big ship. But again, when we look at the scriptures, that's not really who Noah was. Noah was not just some guy building a ship. Noah was what? He was a preacher. We could say Noah was the first evangelist. And God did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. You know, every day that Noah built that ship, he was preaching a message. Can you imagine how many people came to Noah when he's building that ship? What are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Well, there's going to be a flood. What's a flood? Well, there's going to be rain. Well, what's rain? There's going to be so much water that it's going to just flood the world. Are you telling me up to the mountains? Or Noah was a preacher of righteousness. His message was one that, listen, something bad's going to happen. I know we don't see it in the Word of God, but I'm sure that Noah offered this. When it comes, if you're on this boat, you'll be safe. I mean, if he's a preacher of righteousness, his intent is not to condemn people. His intent is what? That people would be saved. I mean, isn't that what Jesus came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost? The Son of God did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him, correct? It's the same mission, it's the same goal that established since the Garden of Eden, that God has desired to fellowship with man. His desire is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. You know, you can tell some church folks that Jesus is coming to look at you like you're crazy. Like, do you really believe that? Yes, absolutely, 100%. He could come right now. There's nothing holding him back. There are no signs that need to take place. There's no prophetic signs, nothing that needs to take place. You know, that's why they lived that way in the first century. There was no signs that needed to take place. His coming was imminent. They believed that. It was true. And you can say, you know, well, look, they believed that, and that was almost 2,000 years ago. Why are we still believing the same thing? Because Jesus was very clear about his return. And if you remember, when he ascended into heaven, and the angels were there, and they're looking at Jesus as he ascended to heaven, they remind the followers that the same Jesus will return in like manner. He will come back. It's a cornerstone of the Christian faith that Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. His imminency, the imminency of his return, is what should fuel our mission, and that's what gives us our practical application for the verse. We have a theological perspective. Paul was ministering to people who didn't have understanding. He was trying to give them hope. He was trying to give them comfort. But there's a practical application to what he's communicating, and that is this. People who die without Jesus are not going to heaven. If people depart from this earth and they depart without Christ, there is no hope. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. So what happens to a believer when they die, where we commit them to the earth? Their spirit goes on to be with the Lord directly. There is no soul sleep. Even for the unrighteous, there is no soul sleep. We see that in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, that there is a consciousness after death, both for the wicked and the righteous. There's consciousness after death. When you step out of this world and you step into eternity, you're going to be fully conscious and aware of what's taking place around you. Your soul does not sleep. You're alive. You're awake. Sometimes I think when you get to these areas of the rapture, resurrection, people get confused what happens. But when you die, your body goes to the earth, right? We dispose of it however we cremate, we bury it, however we do that. The body is there. The body is corrupted because of sin. Sin has brought forth death. And so we think of it as a seed that is put in there. But at the resurrection, that body, it doesn't matter how it's deteriorated, how it's went to the earth, it's going to come out of the ground, and then it's going to be reunited with that spirit, and then you're going to have a glorified being, a glorified person, one that is not subject to death or decay any longer. There's a resurrection of the unrighteous. When people say, I hope that person rots in hell, do we really understand what we're condemning a person to? Do we really understand what we're saying to someone, that we would rather see them and eternal sufferings apart from God? I mean, is that what we really want for someone?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray it was a blessing to you. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, God bless you, as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.